Chapter 4. Of those things which in the work of redemption are peculiarly ascribed to the person of the Son. Secondly, the Son was an agent in this great work, concurring by a voluntary susception, or willing undertaking of the office imposed on him. For when the Lord said, "Sacrifice and offering he would not in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin he had no pleasure," then said Christ, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God," Hebrews 10:6, 7. All other ways being rejected as insufficient, Christ undertook the task, in whom alone the Father was well pleased, Matthew 3:17. Hence he professeth that he came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him, John 6:38. Yea, that it was his meat and drink to do his Father's will, and to finish his work, Chapter 4:34. The first words that we find recorded of him in the Scripture are to the same purpose, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Luke 2:49. And at the close of all he saith, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do," John 17:4. Calling it everywhere his Father's work that he did, or his Father's will which he came to accomplish, with reference to the imposition which we before treated of. Now, this undertaking of the Son may be referred to three heads. The first being a common foundation for both the others, being as it were the means in respect of them as the end, and yet in some sort partaking of the nature of a distinct action, with a goodness in itself in reference to the main end proposed to all three, we shall consider it apart. And that is, first, his incarnation, as usually it is called, or his taking of flesh, and pitching his tent amongst us, John 1:14. His being made of a woman, Galatians 4:4, is usually called his ensarcosis, incarnation. For this was the mystery of godliness, that God should be manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16, thereby assuming not any singular person, but our human nature, into personal union with himself. 4. Forasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, Hebrews 2:14. It was the children that he considered, the children whom the Lord gave him, verse 13. Their participation in flesh and blood moved him to partake of the same, not because all the world, all the posterity of Adam, but because the children were in that condition. For their sakes he sanctified himself. Now, this emptying of the deity, this humbling of himself, this dwelling amongst us, was the sole act of the second person, or the divine nature in the second person, the Father and the Spirit having no concurrence in it but by liking, approbation, and eternal counsel. Secondly, his oblation, or offering himself up to God for us without spot, to purge our consciences from dead works, Hebrews 9:14. For he loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Rev 1:5. He loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, Ephesians 5:25, 26. Taking the cup of wrath at his Father's hands due to us, and drinking it off, but not for himself, Daniel 9:26. For our sakes he sanctified himself, John 17:19, that is, to be an offering, an oblation for sin. 4. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, Romans 5:6. This being that which was typified out by all the institutions, ordinances, and sacrifices of old, which when they were to have an end, then said Christ, "Lo, I come to do thy will." Now, though the perfecting or consummating of this oblation be set out in the Scripture chiefly in respect of what Christ suffered, and not so much in respect of what he did, because it is chiefly considered as the means used by these three blessed agents for the attaining of a farther end, yet in respect of his own voluntary giving up himself to be so an oblation and a sacrifice, without which it would not have been of any value, for if the will of Christ had not been in it, it could never have purged our sins. Therefore, in that regard, I refer it to his actions. He was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. The Lamb of God, which himself had provided for a sacrifice. And how did this Lamb behave himself in it? With unwillingness and struggling? No. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53:7. Whence he saith, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. John 10:17-18. He might have been crucified on the part of God. But his death could not have been an oblation and offering had not his will concurred. But he loved me, saith the apostle, and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. Now, that alone deserves the name of a gift which is from a free and a willing mind, as Christ's was when he loved us, and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, Ephesians 5:2. He does it cheerfully. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, Hebrews 10:9. And so his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. Now, this oblation or offering of Christ I would not tie up to any one thing, action, or passion, performance, or suffering. But it compresseth the whole economy and dispensation of God manifested in the flesh and conversing among us, with all those things which he performed in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications, with strong cries and tears, until he had fully by himself purged our sins, and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, Hebrews 1:3, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, chapter 10:13, all the whole dispensation of his coming and ministering, until he had given his soul a price of redemption for many. Matthew 26:28. But for his entering into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled with his own blood, and appearing so for us before the Majesty of God, by some accounted as the continuation of his oblation, we may refer unto. Thirdly, his intercession for all and every one of those for whom he gave himself for an oblation. He did not suffer for them, and then refused to intercede for them. He did not do the greater, and omit the less. The price of our redemption is more precious in the eyes of God and his Son than that it should, as it were, be cast away on perishing souls, without any care taken of what becomes of them afterward. Nay, this also is imposed on Christ, with a promise annexed: Ask of me, saith the Lord, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, Psalm 2:8. Who accordingly tells his disciples that he had more work to do for them in heaven. I go, saith he, to prepare a place for you, that I may come again and receive you unto myself, John 14:2, 3. For as the high priest went into the second tabernacle alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and the errors of the people, Hebrews 9:7. So Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by his own blood entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, verses 11, 12. Now, what was this holy place whereinto he entered thus sprinkled with the blood of the covenant? And to what end did he enter into it? Why, he is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, verse 24. And what doth he there appear for? Why, to be our advocate, to plead our cause with God, for the application of the good things procured by his oblation unto all them for whom he was an offering. As the apostle tells us, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John 2:1. Why, how comes that to pass? He is the propitiation for our sins, verse 2. His being holosmos, a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins, is the foundation of his interceding, the ground of it. And, therefore, they both belong to the same persons. Now, by the way, we know that Christ refused to pray for the world, in opposition to his elect. I pray for them, saith he, I pray not for the world, but for them thou hast given me, John 17:9. And therefore there was no foundation for such an interceding for them, because he was not holosmos a propitiation for them. Again, we know the Father always heareth the Son. I knew, saith he, that thou hearest me always, chapter 11:42, that is, so to grant his request, according to the forementioned engagement, Psalm 2:8. And, therefore, if he should intercede for all should undoubtedly be saved, for he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, Hebrews 7:25. Hence is that confidence of the apostle, upon that intercession of Christ, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, Romans 8:33, 34. Where, also, we cannot but observe that those for whom he died may assuredly conclude he maketh intercession for them, and that none shall lay anything to their charge, which breaks the neck of the general ransom. For according to that, he died for millions that have no interest in his intercession, who shall have their sins laid to their charge, and perish under them which might be farther cleared up from the very nature of this intercession, which is not a humble, dejected supplication, which beseems not that glorious state of advancement which he is possessed of that sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, but an authoritative presenting himself before the throne of his Father, sprinkled with his own blood, for the making out to his people all spiritual things that are procured by his oblation, saying, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, John 17:24, so that for whomsoever he suffered, he appears for them in heaven with his satisfaction and merit. Here, also, we must call to mind what the Father promised his Son upon his undertaking of this employment. For there is no doubt but that for that, and that alone, doth Christ, upon the accomplishment of the whole, intercede with him about which was in some that he might be the captain of salvation to all that believe on him, and effectually bring many sons to glory. And hence it is, having such an high priest over the house of God, we may draw near with the full assurance of faith, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, Hebrews 10:14. But of this more must be said afterward.